And I'm going to pray before I begin and ask God to help me, because I honestly, Pastor was right. I mean, I really can't do anything without God's help. I know that in my own frailty and my own weaknesses, I truly can do nothing at all. And so, Heavenly Father, I just give this over to Thee, O Heavenly Father, O Lord Jesus, my Lord, my God, my Redeemer, my Savior, my High Tower, Lord, the one and true God. There is no God like unto Thee. And Lord, You can do all things, O Lord. I can do nothing at all without Thine help, O God. And I'm asking You, Lord, as I humble myself, to walk in a way and in a manner pleasing unto Thee. And asking, O Lord, that truly You would be with each and every soul here today and all our precious friends here and online, that You would be with them, that You would open their eyes if there's anything of value that I have to share with them today, Lord, that You would use that and help them, Lord, somehow to encourage people, to exhort people, that they could run the race and endure unto the end. For that's the whole purpose, O God, of why we come here to preach or teach or sing and worship, O Lord, is to not only give You the glory, but that we would be made ready for Thy soon appearing. In Jesus' name, amen. I wasn't sure what to bring forth today until about maybe Thursday evening, late afternoon, evening, and the name of the message is called The Armor of God's Light. And it's about Christians getting ready. It's about the Lord arming them, arming you and arming me with the armor of God that He has provided. The armor of light. And I truly would like to give everything over to the Lord today. If I'm asking the Lord to truly help me, because this, I don't know how to really put everything into words. I'm just going to read the scripture and ask God to give me the words to expound and give me the words to say. And it's not easy coming up here to do that. But then again, anything worth having is truly never easy. And I know I woke up today with a sore neck, shoulder area, and the trapezoid area. And you know what? That's very typical. Every Sunday morning, there seems to be something that's the devil's trying to hinder me over. But that's okay, because I know that the Lord is with us. He's with me. He's with you. Every one of us here. All those who are online. Praise God. I know I was before church. I sometimes struggle as to how to say things sometimes, just to speak, just to get what I'm trying to get out, what I'm trying to explain and expound. I'm not a smooth talker. I think everyone here knows that. I'm not very good with words. I'm about as raw as you can ever find anywhere. And so I'm just going to ask you to bear with me here. But I know that I was downstairs before church today, about 9 o'clock this morning. And I felt like the Lord, before I even would begin the message, I guess the Lord was kind of showing me these things as I wrote down as quick as I could. These things, and it's about deception in the church, first of all. It's about running for your life. It's about a war in this world that the devil is looking to take you out. It's a war for your life. It's a war to take you down any way he can. That's why we need to be very keen to the Spirit of God. We need to seek God for wisdom on how to handle every situation that we find ourselves in today. But there's certain things that the Lord showed me that we are to run for our life. And I just want to go down these steps before I begin the message. He showed me in no uncertain words or terms, just wrote them down, and I'm going to do my best to get this out. And I wrote down, run from those churches where soul-damning hearsays and false doctrines are preached. Run for your life. Run from hirelings looking to pick your pockets. Run from people who are trying to deceive you, who are preaching easy believism gospels. Run from those who wink at sin. Run for your life in Jesus' name. Run from churches that don't teach and preach repentance. Run. Run from those churches that sit there and want to entertain you with jokes and programs and all these little things that they set up in their churches. Run from that. Run for your life. And I wrote down also here the last part. Run from those that are blind and greedy and reprobate. Run from those that espouse the ecumenical movement. Run for your life in that, in Jesus' name. Run from that as hard as you can. Run from churches that compromise the Word of God using devilish gospels, false, tampered with false gospels, false versions of the Bible. Run as hard as you can from those that seek to entrap and ensnare you with smooth, convincing words. Those people that do not fear God, run for your life. Run. But there is a place that you can run to. And that place is in the gospel of Christ, the true gospel, where he shows you how to arm yourself with the armor of light. He shows you how to fight the good fight, a fight worth fighting. In Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, this is the thing that's expected of each and every one of us. It's our reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, give way to God's way. Give way to that, so that the Lord would transform your mind, transform your heart and life. Now, in other words, what that is saying to us is we must learn how to put away the old self, rebellion and sin, selfishness, doubt, worry, and fear. Put that away and trust God. And seek God, because see, he's going to show you and me how that we can live, how that we can have victory even in this late, late hour, to have victory, to not only wear armor that will defend us from the many darts of the devil, but that how we would also be on the offensive with the sword of the Spirit, with the helmet of salvation, preaching, teaching, exhorting people, showing them, living the life by example, not by mere words. I don't ever want to follow after someone who only knows how to speak or tell you things, but they don't know how to live the life. Run from that. Run as hard as you can from that. Get away from that as hard as you can. Run. In Ephesians chapter 4, 21 through 22 and 23, it says, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's changing your minds and changing your thoughts to honor God. It's a way of life that is truly changed. See, when you live that way, that means that you separate yourself. The battleground truly is in the mind. If you remember the location where Jesus was crucified, it was called Golgotha, which is meant place of the skull. If we were to be effective in spiritual and warfare, the first field of conflict, we must learn warfare is the battleground of the mind, the place of the skull. For the territory of the uncrucified thought life is the beachhead of satanic assault in our lives. That's where we need to be prepared. To defeat the devil, we must be renewed in the spirit of our minds. According to Proverbs chapter 20, 27, it says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." In other words, our spirit is enlightened by the Spirit of God, which then becomes the lamp of the Lord, whereby He searches the heart. So what do we do to renew our minds? Is there a holy radiance about you? Isaiah chapter 40, 28 and 31 says this, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching in his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." In other words, my friends, this means also that we must change our mind about sin, about how we live. No mind change, there's no life change. Be not conformed, but be transformed. That's what the Lord is looking for. Looking for a people who fear God, who care enough to turn away, to repent, and to run towards the cross of Calvary. To forsake the sin of the world, to forsake all those things, all those trapments, entertainment, all these snares that the devil would try to entrap you in. The web of deceit is all around us, everywhere we go. John chapter 8, 12 says, "Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So in other words, it's no more walking around in a drunken stupor of confusion and defeat. No more do we have to give in to temptations. Jesus has called us to separate ourselves from this life, from this world. We don't have to no more walk around stumbling about in the dark. When we walk in the light, truly He is there. He will show us. That beam of light coming from the cross of Calvary, from the shed blood, Jesus will truly begin to speak to our hearts. He will begin to show us what to do. He will give us insight, wisdom, and understanding on just exactly what we need to do to defeat the enemy in our own lives. All our lives are individually unique. Everyone's got their own issues going on. I know that. You know that. We all have our different circumstances. But in the end, we still all must fight the same fight. We drink the same cup. We eat the same bread. And Jesus is trying to show us how that each and every one of us, by obeying the gospel of Christ, will also walk in victory. The Lord will show us how to do that. Some of us are at different levels of understanding, at different levels of learning and growing, and some are able to pick it up right away, and that's okay. That's okay. It doesn't matter. As long as you're going forward, the Lord knows. In Isaiah chapter 41, 9 through 13, it says, "Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You see, the world rejects God's people. The world rejects God's word. The world hates it because it's the devil's kingdom. We don't have to give in to that no more. We don't have to bow to the feet of greed and deception anymore in our lives. We don't have to bow to it. We no longer have to give heed to those false gospels, false teachings. We no longer have to give way to false understanding or misconceptions or unsound doctrines. No, we have all that we need in the Word of God. And it's the Spirit of God who quickens us to teach us all of these things so that we are made aware of, that we can be strengthened, that we will endure until the end. It's not just there for us to read and be entertained. It's a living word there for us to eat and drink so that we will be nourished and grow and move forward. The Lord wants to teach us many things, but we need to be open to it. We need to receive. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they shall that strive with thee shall perish. I remember just the other day how I was telling Shirley about this, and I'm not rejoicing at someone's calamity. I'm not. It's just an example I want to share with you. I know that I was one day when my upstairs neighbors who are going to be moving here shortly, they're living together. They're fornicating. They're not right with God. You know, they're living. They're in the world. They're rebelling. They're doing things that they ought not to do. But anyways, I saw that they had left their garage door open, and I like to keep the garage door closed because of roaming cats and dogs and people that are looking to find a way into people's cars and vehicles and steal things. So I try to keep an eye on that. And one day this lady, she left, and I thought she had gone to work. And I just thought, well, I'll just go ahead and close the garage door for them. And she rebuked me soundly for even touching their garage door. And I apologized, of course. You know, it was a misunderstanding. And now they can't open their garage door. It won't even open. It won't even budge. And now they can't get their car in there. So they park on the outside. It's just those kinds of things that you see, that the Lord sees everything that the enemy is trying to do. I'm not rejoicing over the fact that they, you know, have their garage door, that they can't use it. It's just an example that God watches over us. God is the avenger for our lives. Even the small little details like that. And it says here, thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. So, the question I have right now is, are we battle-dressed? Are we getting prepared? Are we listening to the Lord's commands? And how will God help us? If we just go to John 14, 16, 17, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And in John 14:26-27, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, the Lord knows how to comfort us. The Lord knows how to equip us for the fight that is ahead of us. There is a day coming when no man will even be able to eat, work, or anything of that nature as you're used to. Because soon and very soon, these doors of opportunity are going to be closing for us. There's a time when it's going to be so dark. Spiritually, we won't be able to work. We won't be able to get out there and do things as we used to be able to do freely in this country. Because the devil's working overtime to take our rights away. The devil's working overtime to shut us down. And while it's still light, and while it is still called day, we need to be out and about, ready, prepared, dressed in the armor of light, ready to do battle, ready to give an answer to those who are seeking an answer, seasoned with salt, a light to those walking in darkness, that they might see, hear, know, and understand what it means to truly give and to live the life. To give of what we have. To live, to be an example. But many enter in because they embrace the flesh, the world, rebellion, pride. But I want to go to James chapter 4. James 4, 1-10, and read from the Word of God here. Right here, James. James 4, 1 through 10. And it says here, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even to your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of God, or will be a friend of the world rather, is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scriptures saith in vain that the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he that giveth more grace, wherewith he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Praise God for that. So we're to walk in a holy boldness, righteous before God. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Satan, who uses pride and rebellion, his primary mode of attack truly is to distort, misquote, misrepresent, and promote presumption, and to create concerning God's word, to create confusion of every kind. That's his mode. He wants to ask. He wants to show. He wants to always bring these questions, these endless questions. Hath God said so? Is this what God really meant? Is this what God is telling you? Is this really in the Word of God? Always asking questions so that you doubt the Word of God. But I know that God gives us the insight and the wisdom that we need. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, 14 and 18 says, there was a little city, and I want you to just really listen to this. It says, there was a little city and few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks. In other words, walls and barriers of every kind. And great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man. And he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised. And his words are not heard. The words of the wise men are heard quiet. More, the cry of him that ruleth among fools. It says again here, the words of wise men are heard quiet. More, the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. But one sinner destroyeth much good. You see, friends, there is a battle for your life. The raging battle for your life is that great king came in to set up walls and barriers and bulwarks. So the devil is coming in to set that up in your life. The lines are marked, the swords are drawn, and stand ready. Christians are sound asleep. The trumpet is about to sound, and Christians are still in their pajamas. Sound asleep, and the war is raging round about them. They have gone AWOL. Churches are using false gospels and false words, false teachings, greedy, filthy lucre, deception of every kind. And what are we going to do when that last trumpet sounds and we're not ready? If the oil of the Holy Ghost is not filled our lamps, what will we do in that day? Are we going to be one of those that says, Lord, Lord, but are not able to enter in? That's why we must wear the armor of God's light. In Romans chapter 13, 12 through 14, it says this. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, not in wantonness, not in the strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You see, every temptation you overcome makes you stronger. Well, every temptation that defeats you makes you weaker. It hurts your faith. We need to be ready, filled with the Holy Ghost, wearing the armor of light, being prepared always. In Daniel 12:3 it says, "They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." In other words, what that is saying is, do we radiate Jesus Christ in our life to those around us? It ain't just about words, it's about our life. Does it shine? I remember reading about a blind man and a lamp, and how that this blind man sat on the street corner, and this fellow came up to the blind man and said, "Why do you have a lantern sitting next to you?" And the blind man said this. He said, "I have it so that no man will stumble over me." If you think about that, what is that man saying? It says, he said, "That no man may stumble over me." Those words, to me, are very important to hear, because that speaks more about my life. Am I living the kind of life so that when people come to, they watch me, that are they stumbling over the things that I do and say? Am I a stumbling block in any way? That's why I need to be careful with the words that I speak. I need to mean what I say and say what I mean. Be real with people. Be honest. Be a man of integrity. Not seeking for filthy lucre's sake, or for greed, or for any manipulating thing in any way in my life towards others. Where one man reads the Bible, hundreds more will read you and me. That's what Paul meant when he said that we were to be living epistles, known and read of all men. In Ephesians 6, chapter 6, it says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." In other words, that's the armor of light. "That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." That means to stand, to withstand the onslaught and the attacks of the enemy in your life. They come in many forms, varying degrees. They come through deception. They come through family, friends, relatives, strangers. They come to allure you away from the true gospel. They come to tempt you through words, smooth words. They come to deceive your mind, deceive your heart into accepting a little leaven, but a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little darkness let in will soon invade the whole territory. If you're not careful, compromise will destroy you. And in Ephesians 6:14 it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." In other words, this belt of truth involves sincerity. Sincerity of heart, mind, and motives should be pure, and it should be devoid of all wicked thoughts and malice towards others. 1 Corinthians 5:8 says this, "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." That's in 1 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, it says this, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you, Word. In other words, that's truth in our hearts. Means serving God with the right motives. Serving God with sincerity and truth. That means being careful how we think and how we talk, how we dress. That means not putting ourselves in positions of compromise. That means being careful to live a certain life, to live a certain way when no one else is watching, when no one else but you and God can see. What kind of integrity is that? To me, that's everything. If I can't live a life that's full of integrity when no one's watching, I am nothing. My life means nothing. My Christianity is a fake if I do that. I want nothing to do with that. I'll be honest with you. God help every one of us. Truth in the mind helps strengthen our wills to serve God. And here, in 1 Peter chapter 1, 13, 19 says this, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to be to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." To be sober. To gird up the loins of your mind. That means we fight and we guard and we stand watch over the gate of our mind, over the gate of our heart, over our thought life, because that is where the battle rages day in and day out. If we don't stand guard with the sword ready to cut it asunder, with the flaming sword of God's word and spirit to destroy those evil thoughts, to come against them, to fight those evil thoughts that come against us, that come against God. If we don't do that, then we agree with the devil. If we don't do that, then we stand in agreement with that evil and that wickedness. And it says here in verse 14, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Hey, if you can't be trusted with your conversation before God, or your conversation with other people on the phone or in private with some person no one else can hear but you and whoever you're talking to. You see, those that rebel, those that live a lie, that's when you can see the devil dancing in their at their dinner table. The devil is dancing and laughing and rejoicing at such people. The devil glories in any way he can when he can cause someone to be so deceived and caught up in that world of deception that causes other people to fall. The devil is rejoicing. That's his victory. That's why it's important that we be good soldiers of Christ. Men and women everywhere. Children. To be soldiers of Christ. To not get caught up. To not get caught up in that deception that the devil so wants us to get caught up in, where we begin to think evil thoughts. We begin to talk that way, because see, what goes in here gets into the heart, eventually comes out of our mouth. And then actions ensue. That is so important that we be mindful every day of our lives from this day forward, how that we live our life, that we live above reproach. "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because It is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. In verse 17 it says, and this is 1 Peter chapter 1, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, it says this, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. That is a heart devoid of sin towards God and bitterness towards man. We need to be careful how we walk, how we talk. Are we walking in truth? Are we walking with the armor of light about us? Are we dressed and ready for battle? Are we making a difference in our lives and people around us? Are we exhorting people, encouraging people, helping people, talking to people, praying with people? Are we being that example? Are we being a light in a dark world? In 2 Timothy 2:15 it says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, that's discernment and ability rightly to apply to our lives. Able to apply the word of God rightly to our lives. Able to discern the difference between right and wrong. Able to know and understand and see the deception of the devil through his bully pulpit, through his hirelings, as they preach and teach unsound doctrine, seeking whom he may devour in any way he can to destroy your life. A little off becomes way off. If you were in a plane, for example, and a plane took off and was an eighth of an inch of, or a degree off, and it took off from, say, the continent of the U.S., by the time you go 300-400 miles, you could be flying right over Russia or right over some other continent. That's how a little leaven can leaven the whole lump, and before you know it, you are way off course. You're way off track. And how to put on the belt of truth. I wrote down 7 questions here. And I wrote, am I right with God and with others? Is there any bitterness or rebellion in my heart? Am I embracing any compromise? Am I walking with humility? Am I easily offended? Am I guarding my heart? And am I sober-minded? And am I sincere? These are things that we should all, on a checklist, every morning, when we look in the mirror, we should be looking at these things in our own lives. Checking ourselves against the Word of God. Being convicted by the Holy Ghost as He leads us, talks to us, and quickens us each day. But in Ephesians chapter 6:14, it says this, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. In other words, this righteousness is not our own. It is imputed upon us by the Holy Ghost for those that walk in faith and righteousness like Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8, it says this, even as God also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. This is in Romans chapter 4. It's not saying that you can do works of righteousness without faith and without works. Faith without works is dead. But that's not what he's saying here. And it says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Romans 5, it says this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto his grace, unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And in Romans 3:21-25 it says this, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all men, and wait, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be appropriation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. You see, God imputed righteousness to Abraham because of his faith. And now for the Christian, the Holy Spirit within gives you the life and the power to live above sin. This is the breastplate of righteousness, according to Romans 8:11. It says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And in Ephesians, we are given the gospel of peace. It says here, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shod means covered, preserved, prepared with the gospel. What is the gospel of the preparation of peace? Well, we'll get to that. But I know that it is the foot. It is, as the foot is to the body, what is to the will is to the soul. We go wherever our will takes us. Preparation for trials, tribulations, create seasoned Christians whose feet are prepared with the gospel of peace. When you go through trials and tribulations in your life, when you fight the good fight, when you have these setbacks that seemingly are a setback, really what it is, it's a stepping stone. It's a time of you being seasoned in the Lord. It's a time of preparation. It's a time of conflict, yes, but it's that time that the Lord uses to prepare us down the road. He uses those conflicts. He uses those situations in our life that seem like it's the devil's up to no good, and oh boy, I'm ruined. I don't know what to do. But God uses those times. He uses those adversities in our life to help us. In Romans chapter 8:38-39, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, the gospel, Jesus sets the will of the Christian. It gives purpose and meaning where nothing else seems to matter. In Ephesians chapter 6:16, it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." You see, the shield of faith defends the whole body. It's the armor that will defend your head, your neck, your chest, your waist, your arms, your legs. No wonder the Bible says above all, because that shield is a shield of faith. That shield will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. What is the shield of faith? In John, 1 John 5:4, it says this, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In Hebrews 11:1-3, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what he's saying, and I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 11, truly it is a substance. There is something about the Word of God, it is actual substance. You might not be able to see it, you might not be able to pick it up with your physical hands, you might not, you know, be able to physically feel it at all, but it's tangible. It's kind of like the wind. You can't see the wind, but you know it's there. It's tangible. So is the Spirit of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, 2-3, it says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So there is a certain substance, a certain source that God uses. And it's the prayers of faith. Faith lives. Faith has substance. Faith is tangible. And God uses that. And there's such a thing as, I remember reading something in Revelations. I forget, I'm just going to take a real quick look here. Revelation, if you want to just kind of prove a point, I just was looking at that the other day. I'm just looking it up right now. Revelations 8. Bear with me here. And it says here, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. What is that saying? The angel took those prayers in his hand as a form of substance by faith and offered it to God so that he could breathe it in and smell it as a sweet smelling savor, incense before his nose. I find that remarkable when I read that. I just couldn't help but put the two together, and I just had to think about it and contemplate that. I thought that was really neat. And 1 Timothy 1:5 says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. You see, if faith is the treasure, the conscience is the bag that holds it. It says here, now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. When we have a good conscience, when we walk with a clean conscience, we know that we don't have to fake it till we make it. We can be pure. We can be holy. It can be unfeigned, uncorruptible, unrebukable, unreprovable, unfeigned, true and honest and sincere before God. I know that the Holy Ghost quickens our conscience and alerts to the promptings of God. In Ephesians 6:17 it says, and take the helmet of salvation. That, you see, a blow to the head is usually pretty fatal. You know that. And that's why we cover our head with the helmet of salvation, to guard our thoughts, our minds, to guard our intellect, our reasoning ability, to guard against the wiles of the enemy who seeks to destroy that, to corrupt that, to manipulate that. That's why we need to wear the helmet of salvation. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 8, it says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." You see, faith and hope, love, they're all essential for victory. In 1 Corinthians 13:13 it says, "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, the three, but the greatest of these is charity." You see, hope, on the other hand, is of the mind. It is our helmet. A man can live several days without food and water, but if you take away hope, that man may likely, who knows, might commit suicide when things get rough. If you take away hope, you really have nothing. That hope, the helmet of salvation, that's what we look for. That's what we hope in. In Colossians 12, 22 and 23, it says, "In the body of this flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereby I, Paul, am made minister." You see, our hope is held out via the gospel, the word of God. A Christian with a helmet of hope, of salvation, will not get confused. There's a thing called fleeting pleasures of sin. We won't get confused and caught up with that, because we'll be grounded, we'll be settled. We'll have that perfect hope in us. You know, there are many people who are willing to trade their birthright for the fleeting moments of sin and compromise in their life. They're willing to sell their birthright as a Christian for that. I'm not willing to do that, are you? No, thank you. No, thank you. 1,000 times over, no, thank you. No, thank you. Psalm 119:81 says, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." You see, hope is truly an anchor for the soul. Hope gives us stability. Hope in the gospel. Hope in salvation. In Hebrews 6:19 it says, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." You see, faith needs hope to sustain it. In Ephesians 6:17, "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." You see, that is the sixth piece of the armor, of the glorious sword of the Spirit. The glorious sword of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is the word of God, and our battles are fought with words. In 2 Corinthians 10:3 and 5 it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war," and I've read this already, but I felt it's worth reading again. It says, 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Amen. You see, strongholds, arguments, and thoughts are darts the devil uses. But the sword of the Spirit is equipped to deal with them all, every one of them. Jesus overcame by the sword of the Spirit. You see? The Lord expects nothing less of us. In Revelations, to close, in Revelations chapter 19, verse 15, it says, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he that treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." His sword, like a flaming sword, is going to come to judge the nations. It's the word of his Spirit. With flaming eyes, he's coming back to judge the wicked, but to reward the righteous. He's coming back with that flaming sword. He's going to separate the precious from the vile. That day is coming. We will all be separated one way or the other. Some to damnation eternally. Some to glorious rewards of heavenly eternity. Eternity upon eternity upon eternity. A never-ending cycle of eternity. Forever and ever and ever. If you can imagine what that is going to be like for those that will be lost. To never have rest, day or night. To be in a continual state of torture forever and ever and ever and ever. To have no rest, day or night. And that smoke goes up before God day and night. The Lord said, "Vengeance is mine." That day is coming. It's a flaming sword, a fiery judgment, a day to be reckoned with, a day to be prepared against. Are we to be ready with God and for God, or are we going to be against God? Are we going to be the recipients of those who will suffer loss on every count, on every side? Who will die the second death? Who will have truly no hope of salvation? Who were found walking naked, unprepared? Who were without armor? Who does not have the light of truth, or the light of the gospel in them? Who have regarded evil rather than good? Who have regarded the sinful nature of this world? Who have given their lives over to it completely and forsaken the way that is righteous and narrow? I've talked to people all the time, and one lady told me that, how can you read the King James Bible? It's such a narrow-minded way to think. And, you know, what that woman doesn't see is that that's the only way to heaven. That narrow way is the safe way. That narrow way is the right way. That narrow way truly is walking in the Spirit. That narrow way is wearing the armor of light, the armor of righteousness, faith, hope, trust in God, salvation, truth. An old minister once said, "If ye fear, if you're not at a threat to the devil or his kingdom, and you're no help to the kingdom of God. If you are not a threat to the devil or his kingdom, then you're of no help to the kingdom of God." And you know, I think I remember reading one day how, if the Lord will help me to recall the words, that if you can't stand up for God, if you can't stand up for God now, And if you can't live for God now, then God will have nothing good to say for you on that day either. Well, he'll turn you away. When you knock, "Lord, Lord, what about me? Didn't we do these miracles? Didn't we went to the nursing home, or we did this, we did that, and Lord, we prayed in your name, and miracles were happening all around us, or we did this, or we did that, but Lord, let us in." And he'll say, "I never knew you. Ye that work iniquity, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Because, you see, there are many false prophets. There are many false preachers and teachers out there that are looking to, are feigning to be a Christian, but that are deceiving you and me because they want to be seen and heard. It's all about a game to them. They want to be popular. They want their reward now, and they can have it. That is their reward. But in eternity, they'll have all eternity to regret the things that they did while they were still had a chance to make things right but didn't. That day is coming. And if we're not ready, and if we're not wearing the armor, if we're naked, destitute, if we aren't prepared and wise stewards of God and the things that he's given us, we will be ashamed on that day. We will be ashamed at his coming. We won't be ready. We'll want to be like those people that are crying out to that let the rocks fall down on us, hiding in caves, trying to hide from God, because they will be naked and destitute and ashamed at his return. That's why we must be ready to wear the armor of light, to be prepared, prudent, smart, understanding, walking with wisdom and humility. That is understanding. That's knowledge. And I know that I know better than anybody else. I guarantee you. And I need as much help as anyone else here or online or wherever you are, whoever you are. God is no respecter of persons at all. And woe be unto me if I don't do and live what I preach and teach. That's a heavy responsibility. So if we don't wear the armor of light, we're cheating ourselves and we're cheating all those around us. If we don't do and obey the word of God, the gospel of Christ, then we're putting everyone around us in danger. Everyone that we come in contact with are in danger of being deceived and misled, misguided. We must be careful to live the life. I don't want to hear it. If you're just talking about it, just, you know, get away. I don't want to hear it. Show me a life that is well lived, and then that is the sermon that I want to hear. That's the kind of life that I respect. I respect people who say what they mean and mean what they say with all sincerity. They don't have to sit there and fudge and hum and ha and wonder whether or not what they're saying is believable. No. Doesn't work that way. Because it's going to be believable. It'll be unrebukable and unreprovable before God and before man. When you live in the light, people will see it. You're known and read of all men. People will see right through you. That's why I need to look in the mirror every day. Hey, I'm no better than anyone here. I promise you that. That's why I've got to look in the mirror every day and check myself against the Word, the Holy Word of God, the King James Bible. Why don't we pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for helping me, oh Lord, to say some things as clumsy as I am, oh God, as clumsy as I tried to today. But I pray that somehow, Lord, that you would touch hearts and help some of this to sink in, oh Lord, for whoever it was for, Lord. And most people here, Lord, already know about this. And most people that are online and listening in here with us today, it might be old hat to them. Oh, Lord, I know. But, oh, God in heaven, I pray that if there was something worthwhile and anything of any value, that, oh, Lord, that you would convict hearts and speak to people in Jesus' name. And I pray, oh, Heavenly Father, today now that you would go with people as they travel, where they go to their homes or businesses or wherever they're going today. All those who are online and those who are visiting others in other homes, that you would protect them, oh God, and help them and lead them and guide them and watch over them. But that your Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, will envelope every life, will convict and quicken hearts and minds to hear, to learn, to understand, to be quickened unto life eternal, to be made ready to walk in the armor of light, to not be ashamed on that great day, that we would be covered in the blood of Jesus, our robes made white, overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, being made ready for the marriage supper. Oh, Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory, all the honor that is due your name. And we thank you, Lord, for being here with us today, for your precious Holy Ghost, asking you, Lord, to fill each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.